Well, I can't believe it. We are finishing James today. I'm sad, but happy as well, as I've enjoyed, and I have certainly been blessed and encouraged through the book of James, and I hope and pray you have been as well. It's only five chapters, but this will be our 14th message from James. I thought that was pretty incredible. We started with the introduction whilst we were still having our video messages and not able to meet. And we'll end today with the conclusion. It is such a great practical book on how to live out a life of faith, but it is also full of theological wisdom, constantly pointing us to Christ and His great grace. James gives us the tools we need to live out a life of faith, as a good pastor would teach his people. And I wanted to quickly go through, because I thought it'd be helpful and I thought it would help. I know repetition is the key to learning, they say, so I just wanted to quickly go through and see what we've covered so far. We know the author of the book is James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. We also know he is writing to Jewish believers who no longer live in Palestine. And the book was written between AD 45 and AD 50. James then tells us that we are going to face trials of various kinds. And this is for the testing, the maturing, and the perfecting of our faith. Not only are we going to face these trials, we are to count them all joy. Then James tells us we are not only to be eager hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word as well. As we look into his perfect law of liberty, his word, we are not to forget what we saw, but be doers. We should be moved, called to action. Then we talked about the sin of partiality, favoritism, how there is no room in the life of a believer for partiality or prejudice. Then James talks about faith without works is dead. We made sure to make the distinction that we are not talking about works to earn our salvation, for we know our good deeds are as filthy rags to the holy God. But to live a profitable Christian life, a life of faith, we must live out that faith in our everyday life, in our everyday deeds. James then talks about the tongue, that little member that has so much power. We must control our tongue. We must know what controls our heart, because what controls our heart will be evident in what comes out in our speech. As we continue in chapter 3, we talked about wisdom. Wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom, versus earthly wisdom. We must seek that wisdom that is from above. James says that wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Then chapter 4 takes us to conflict, the war that we have inside all of us, the war over our heart. Who is winning that war over your heart today? Then James writes about not judging one another, not trying to be the judge, not trying to be sovereign when we know there is only one who is sovereign and able to sit on the throne, and that is not you or I. That then brought us to talk about tomorrow, how we must have the true view of God, and we must include Him and His will in our future plans, as He is the only one who knows tomorrow. James then gives a warning to the wicked rich and their coming judgment because of their treatment of people, especially righteous people. Also, how we as believers are to have the proper view of wealth. Then James talks about the need of patience in the life of a believer. We are to be patient until the coming of the Lord. In our patience, we are to grow and become more Christ-like. And we know we can only do this through the grace of God. That brings us to last week when we talked about prayer. We are called to pray when we are suffering. We are called to pray when we are cheerful. We are called to pray when we are sick. Yes, God, in his care for us, put in place elders and pastors to watch over and pray for us. But it's not only the elders' responsibility to pray, but all brothers and sisters in Christ must pray for one another, must have open and honest relationships with one another. That brings us to our passage today. The last two verses of James. James 5, 19 and 20 will be our text. The last two verses of this book is talking about wandering. Wandering away from the truth. Wandering away from God. As I was thinking about an illustration of wandering, I didn't have to think that far because I thought of my children. Not just my children, but all children. It doesn't matter if you are in a store or a park, in your home, in a yard. If you tell a child to go to a specific place, they will most of the time eventually get there, but they will wander all around first. Instead of walking straight to the spot or straight to the place you tell them to go, they will travel all around before reaching the destination. That wandering of a child is not bad or wrong. They are learning. They are curious what is out there and what is around them. The wandering we are going to talk about today, however, is similar to the fact that, like children, we know the destination. We know where we need to be. And we know where we are supposed to end up. But it's so easy and so tempting to wander away from that destination, to wander away from living a life of faith that James has shown us. Unlike that child who's curious and curiosity leads them to wander around, this wandering in the life of a believer is very dangerous. Let's read our passage together this morning, James 5, 19 through 20. I'll read our passage. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James has talked to us about how we could wander into doubt in moments of trials. How in subtle ways, by the desires of our own heart, we wander into temptation. How we will wander away from graciousness into all forms of anger. How we will wander from humble love into prejudice and partiality. How we wander into a separation from what we say we believe to the way we actually live. How we wander from dependency on God into self-sovereignty. How we wander away from unity and peace into conflict with one another. How we wander from thankfulness into unthankful grumbling. How easy we wander into unbiblical and unhelpful talk and speech. How we wander, even though we say we believe in God, into desperate and prayerless living. Yes, again, this is a summary of the content of the book of James. At every point, James is warning us of the potential that we all have to wander away from the truth. You probably will never wander away theologically, but the thoughts and the motives of your heart will always come first and determine your actions. As we know, what controls your heart will control you. Your wandering always comes a wanderer of your heart comes first, and you will wander through your heart and life. It is usually never a wandering away in a big dramatic moment. Let's not make the mistake of thinking James was thinking about people leaving or wandering off in a big way. Most often, every person who has wandered from the church, who has wandered from Christ, started out subtle. It starts out in the ordinary living of life. It starts out in the lies we tell ourselves. It starts out in the self-serving arguments we have inside. Then it grows, it festers, it grows more until shockingly that person has turned his back on the only thing that would ever give him hope, that person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it does not start dramatically with a big blowout. It starts little, with little wanderings, and then grows from there. Many of us know people like that, or could have even happened to you at one point in your life. Some could have wandered away into a cold relationship with God. You might have lost your zeal or your fervor for God. And yes, you could still be attending church. And yes, you would say you love God. But what is driving your life? It is not faith and trust in God. It is something else. Some might wander away in your thoughts. And you know you give your thoughts to things that believers should not be giving thought to. We must not give thought to fear and anxiety. We cannot give thought to worry and self-loathing. We must not let our thoughts wander to a place that will allow doubt and worry to come into our hearts. Some people might wander away in envy. The life of a believer was never said to be an easy life full of pleasures and riches. You could look at the life of someone else and you bring God into your own judgment and you judge him as being unloving to you. This will lead you to wandering into questioning God's love, questioning his faithfulness, questioning his grace. Some of us could wander into materialism. We lie to ourselves and convince ourselves, if I only had that Jeep and I only had that house with two bathrooms, then I could be happy. And then I could serve the Lord and live a life of faith. But I need those things in order to be happy. If we are all honest with ourselves, we know there is a way in which all of us somehow or some way could wander. There are perhaps ways in which all of us open our hearts and lives to things that we would never have thought of doing when we first became a Christian. This passage is a mirror. It's a call for us to look into our hearts and see the places where we have been comfortable with wandering away from the truth. Let me ask the hard question today. Where have you wandered in your Christian life? Where are you comfortable with wandering? Where are you comfortable with questioning? Our passage today tells us, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Right in the middle of this important warning, a warning to everyone, a warning of wandering, comes a call to everyone. Comes a call to everyone as well. It is a call to action, a call to loving and restoring relationships with one another. Just like last week when we talked about prayer. Yes, prayer is assigned to the elders of the church, but not just the elders. Prayer is assigned to all the people of God's church. So also here, the bringing back of a person is not assigned only to the elders. My brothers, James says, indicates that he is talking and exhorting believers, all believers, not just elders. This restorative mission, or you could say this rescue mission, is a call to everyone in Christ's church. As I said last week, Grace Community Chapel should not just be a place you come for your formal worship. It is where you have ministry, where you have relationships with one another, where you pray for one another, and if need be, where you restore one another. Part of being in a church body, in a church family, is that you don't just live your own spiritual life. You don't just live for your own spiritual well-being, but you accept the responsibility for the well-being of the people God has placed in your life. You are part of what God is doing on earth. You are part of His church, His system of rescue. You are an instrument of His restoration through His great grace. This is important. Last week we talked about opening up and letting your guard down and building a closer relationship with one another so that we can pray for one another, so we can encourage one another, so we can be there for one another. So we know we are not in this life alone. We are adopted and part of His family, and we must be open and be there for one another. This is a continuation on that. You can't minister to people you don't know. Everyone is okay with a casual relationship because ultimately you are not totally vested in that relationship. You are guarded, and you only let that person know what you want them to know about you. We have to stop being okay with a casual relationship with the people of Grace Community Chapel. Our relationship should be growing, should be deeper. We should be breaking through the casual relationships so we can actually know one another. So one day, if the Lord wills, if we need to, we can have a deep enough relationship to restore one another. This comes down to what we have been learning through the entire book of James. Love your neighbor. Love your fellow church member. Do you love your brother and sister in Christ enough to be part of this bringing back? What is the first thing you think about when I say restore or restoration? Well, if you watch as much HGTV as we do, you would think of a house. Someone restoring a house back. When you restore a house, you bring it back to the condition which it was created. This bringing back that James says at the end of verse 19 and into 20 is a restorative work. If you have to bring someone or something back, that means they have left. If they are brought back, they are restored back to their original position. Just like the restoring of a house gets brought back to its original condition. And no, we're not talking about losing our salvation and coming back and being saved again, because we know that we can never lose our salvation, but it's coming back into the family and the church of Christ. The sad truth in all of this is by the time a person needs to be brought back and restored to the church body, now it is a big, dramatic, complicated problem or situation. But in order to get to this complicated situation that a brother or sister is now in, along the way, it was not so big or complicated. It started, as we said, with little moments, little times of wandering, and rescue or restoration could have been done at that time and would have been much easier. That is why it is so important to be part of one another's lives. If we, because of that close relationship we have with one another, can rescue a person at a point or stage when they are just starting to wander, if we can get to them before it builds and grows into this big, complicated problem, then it is much harder to bring them back and restore. If we can get to people before this point, it is much better and much easier to restore. I like how one commentator explained this. He said, "Do you have a consumer or rescuer's relationship to the body of Christ? Are you here with the mentality that I am part of this ongoing work of redemption that God is doing? All of us are in need of help, and all of us are called to be helpers." He went on to say, "Do you live with the restorer's intentionality? You can pray for them wisely. You can ask good questions. You can be part of this calling back that needs to happen all the time." He then said, "I'll speak for myself. There's not a week where there's not a week somehow, some way, I don't need to be called back." James is a good pastor. He understands how big this task is. And in his pastoral care, ends this book with a call to loving, restoring, redemptive outreach. Are you living that call? Are you making real relationships and real decisions to be part of what God is doing in the lives of his people that he has sovereignly placed in our life? Let's look at verse 20. "Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." We have seen the warning. He has given us the call. Now we see how very important this is. How important is this? Life and death. Why do you think sin does not scare us the way it should? Why do you think it's easy to wander away? Because we have convinced ourselves that it's not that big of a deal. It's not that important. We tell ourselves it's not such a big thing. We convince ourselves it won't hurt us. We think we can handle it. We think it will not have lasting impact on our life. With all the excuses we can come up with, it minimizes sin. And it minimizes what James is teaching us. When you wander away, it is the opposite of what James has been teaching us through the entire book. James has taught us to live the life of faith, we must turn from something. We must turn from our sin and turn to something, Jesus Christ. When we wander, we are wandering towards something that is dangerous and destructive in our life. The thing we have already turned from. Is your life moving in a direction of obedience and submission and hope and encouragement? Is it moving in the direction towards the call of the Lord in your life? Is your life moving in a direction where you are beginning to step away from those commitments, to step away from the call of the Lord? As we have talked about through this entire book, it can be a struggle to live out this life of faith. It is even harder when you have an enemy, the devil, who is whispering in your ear, "It's not so dangerous. It's not so bad." It's similar to the Garden of Eden. The evil that the serpent, the devil, did was tell them a lie, that it was not that bad. They would have great power if they only disobeyed this one time. It was only a small thing. Once Adam and Eve were able to look away, they were able to justify it. They were able to turn their backs on their Creator. It is so easy to start to wander with a very small thing. And that is why this is so important. That is why grace is so important. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. James is not telling us that when we get involved with God's rescue, you're all of a sudden going to have great powers. You will not have superpowers, unfortunately. We will never have superpowers. But when you bring someone back, you bring them back to the Messiah, who has power to rescue. He has power to forgive. He has power to restore, to heal, and to cleanse. Jesus is gracious in his patience. He is glorious in his grace. You might think a holy God would say, "How dare you wander away from me?" But our holy God says, "Come, I have died to forgive you. I have died to cover your sins. I have died to restore you. Come." If you embrace the warning, if you accept the call, if you believe in the grace of God, then we must be moved to action. We know the warning is true. We know the call for all of us is real. And we certainly know his grace is available to us. Then we would be God's rescuers, because we know the danger of the heart of a wanderer. It was not an accident that we sang, "Come thou fount of every blessing," this morning. Listen to the words in the second half of verse 2 and verse 3. "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood." Verse 3 says, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, find my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." We all know the reality. We all know we don't set out to wander completely away from the Lord. But with every small step and every little lie we believe, that is slowly pulling us away from him. We know that all believers have been adopted into his family. But we have also been called into his service. We also know that when sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. We must know one another so we can pray for one another, so we can be there for one another, so we can bring one another back from wandering. When this happens and a brother and sister is brought back from wandering and that person is restored to Christ, the Bible tells us that person's soul will be saved from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We must remember this. Like everything we have seen and learned in James, this can only be done through the grace of God. James has shown us the life of a believer. And when living this life of faith, we must always be focused and driven by our great God. James knows the struggles we are going to have. So that is why he ends this book in this way that gives us great hope. Yes, we might fall. Yes, we might struggle. Yes, we might question and even wander away. But he and his people are waiting for us with open arms to return and be restored back to him. In order to be restored, you have to have first known him. You have to have first believed in him. Just like the house that is going to be restored back to its original beauty, it has to have first been built. I ask you, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Jesus, who died on a cross to cover our sins, who rose again that we might have eternal life. Are you trusting in him today? Or is your heart today starting to wander? Starting to believe the lies the devil tells us. You can come back to him today. You can keep trusting in him today. You can ask him for the grace and forgiveness you need to start living a life of faith again. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Turn to him today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would fill us with your grace and mercy today that we need. Lord, I pray that we would be a body of believers committed to one another, but Lord, ultimately committed to you, committed to your service, committed to your call. Lord, I pray that we would grow deeper relationships with one another so that we can be there for one another. We can encourage one another. And Lord, if that day comes, we can restore one another back to you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we go forth today, that we would praise you, we would worship you, and Lord, that we would do this all for your honor and glory. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. You are dismissed.